You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
Financial year 2018-2019 will be remembered for the thing named GST. How it fares is not a tale fully told yet, but GST is what it will be remembered for. Elsewhere, it'll be recalled as the year Trump met Kim Jong-un. But in India, it's the year when we got used to seeing two new entries at the bottom of all our bills. SGST and CGST, or State GST and Central GST. Will we ever forget the feeling when we snagged a great deal online only to see the final price go up by around 900 bucks? Because GST? I won't. As a common citizen, I know the logic behind it. GST is touted as one common tax across all states, thus making transportation of goods simpler and faster, etc., etc. But I'm not a fan of paying more. Or at least, that's the general perception about GST. Is it accurate? Well, let's examine that very thing they call GST, and to do that, this is me, Rakesh, and you're listening to Digging Deeper on Money Control.
Digging deeper into a year of GST, an exclusive on Money Control.
GST, the Goods and Services Tax, probably the biggest reform measure undertaken by the Narendra Modi government, completes 1 year on the 30th of June 2018. It has been a mixed first year for GST. It saw some uptake in the initial months and then saw a dip in collections that saw critics of the GST have a field day. The collections seem to have stabilized now after implementation hiccup and general disgruntlement across state lines. Today, we are taking a look at the 12-month journey of the Goods and Services Tax and if it has accomplished what the government claimed it would. On the 1st of July 2017, the central government unveiled a policy that was more than a decade in the making, 17 years to be precise, the Goods and Services Tax. The phrase sweeping changes comes to mind. GST is an indirect tax that has replaced many indirect taxes in the country. Technically speaking, GST is a comprehensive, multi-stage, destination-based tax that is levied on every value addition. In simpler language, GST is an indirect tax levied on the supply of goods and services. This law has replaced many indirect tax laws that previously existed in India, meaning GST is a single indirect tax that holds goods across the entire country, something like one ring to rule them all. Such a tax structure was always mooted but never implemented. Before GST, we had a combination or maze of 17 types of taxes and 26 cesses. Nearly half were controlled by the central government and the remainder were at the state level. The central government used to charge excise duty, additional or countervailing custom duty, central sales tax, etc., while state governments used to charge VAT, entry tax, luxury tax, entertainment tax, etc. Under GST, SGST is charged for state taxes and CGST is charged for central taxes in equal proportion. Those two entries that we see at the bottom of every bill these days. In lieu of additional or countervailing custom duty, education cess, senior and higher education cess, IGST is collected for central government and rate is equal to GST. Before we proceed further, I'd like to dwell for a minute on the GST itself so we are clear on how GST functions. The Goods and Services Tax is significantly different from the earlier tax system because it is a destination-based tax. Keep that phrase in mind. Destination-based tax. Let's break down that phrase. A tax can be origin-based or destination-based. Origin-based or production tax is levied where goods or services are produced. Destination-based tax or consumption tax is levied where goods and services are consumed. So, origin is where production happens, destination is where consumption happens. Under destination-based taxation, exports are allowed with zero taxes, whereas imports are taxed on par with the domestic production. Therefore, under the current tax regime, any SGST or state GST collected will generally accrue to the state where the consumer of the goods or services resides and not to the state where the goods are produced. One crucial point to bear in mind is that GST is dual. Both center as well as the states will levy GST across the entire goods and services supply chain. That's your CGST and SGST on every supply of goods and services within a state. IGST or integrated GST is levied by the center on all interstate supplies, which is then transferred to the destination state. Remember those long lines of interstate trucks at border checkposts? GST was prompted as one nation, one tax to deal with precisely such issues. It was to be the panacea for all trade-related ills. And coming as it did on the heels of demonetization, it really tested the patience of even the most ardent Narendra Modi supporter. At the risk of dumbing things down, I must state that the advent of GST does not mean every item will be charged at the same rate. We cannot charge the same price for an air conditioner or salt or a guitar or gluten-free makhana. Yes, gluten-free makhana is a real thing. So necessities attract a lower rate of tax than luxuries. But a single luxury product or an individual necessity good is charged the same rate throughout the country. The tax has five slabs: 0%, 5%, 12%, 18%, and the highest at 28%. Take, for example, restaurants. Cheaper restaurants charge lower rates, say 2.5%. Fine dining places or star hotels charge a higher percentage of GST. Or you might have noticed when booking a hotel room on Make My Trip that the end price and GST for rooms in higher-end hotels is far more than that of cheaper hotels. Necessity versus luxury again. The rate on under-construction property booking is 12%. Alcohol for human consumption and petrol and petroleum products have been kept outside of GST, so they're not under the purview of GST yet. Now, all of this can seem very labyrinthine, especially considering we already had a maze-like tax structure where, for regular folks, words like VAT and excise took center stage. Well, we're not the only ones. Even the World Bank was intimidated by the sheer amount of arithmetic jugglery that is involved. It said in a report that the Indian goods and services tax system is among the most complex in the world, with not only one of the highest tax rates, but also one of the largest number of tax slabs. India has the highest standard GST rate in Asia and the second highest in the world after Chile, said the bank in March of this year. There are just four other countries with such a complicated structure: Italy, Luxembourg, Pakistan, and Ghana. As the news outlet Mint put it, none of them is a paragon of economic virtue. The introduction of GST was a challenge, given our country's rickety infrastructure. Analysts identified various problem areas that restricted a smooth implementation. Firstly, cooperation from states was non-committal at first. Each state has its own set of politically sensitive industries and desired lower tax rates on items of local importance. Taxpayers, tax practitioners, and indeed the public at large faced logistical issues like a malfunctioning and/or slow GST portal, high and non-rational tax rates, reverse charge tax on purchases from unregistered suppliers or vendors, technical glitches and problems in filing tax returns, heavy late fee for delays in filing of returns, high compliance burden on taxpayers in view of filing of four tax returns in a single month, keeping accounts of tax under three different heads, payment of tax by the exempted industrial units and non-receipt of refunds of such tax, ambiguity relating to refund of IGST paid on exports, etc., etc., etc. Media reports indicated that the government may have ignored warnings from private companies that the complex technology required for a smooth nationwide GST was not ready for launch. Some papers reported that tax and IT consultants who worked on the project claimed the government was ignoring warnings for more testing of the complex system, even as it was pushing through late changes. To the central government's credit, even as it was panned for shoddy implementation, it raised its game, albeit gradually, and made good ground in recent months. Entrepreneur magazine reported that by mid-October in last year, 3 months into the GST era, approximately 7 million businesses had migrated into GST with an additional 2.5 million fresh registrations. As one news outlet noted, it so happened that the preparedness to handle this overhaul was pretty good within the organized sectors. They in turn tried to train and create awareness within their ecosystems covering the smaller stakeholders. While transition, invoicing, and supply chain in the new regime were managed by many, there was also a fair bit of confusion. For instance, destocking of goods in the distribution chain prior to GST became a natural corollary across the board. Such destocking was a response to the doubts around the quantum of transition credit of legacy taxes or duties on inventories. The government eventually did resolve such issues, but more proactive and a quicker resolution of such problem areas could have potentially minimized fallout. Destocking led to decreased market activity in the initial phase of GST, which impacted GDP growth for that quarter. Some analysts, like Harishankar Subramaniam of Ernst & Young, observed that there were reservations regarding the tax rates. GST rates were determined in a manner such that they remained close to or equal to effective taxes on such goods and services in the previous tax regimes across both central and state taxes. Subramaniam says, though this exercise was thorough, the initial months saw tweaks in many goods for corrective actions. While such moves may have had justifications, changes in the early months impacted business plans and inventories and could have been avoided for at least the first 12 months. There were issues with the collections amounts as well. It was only in April of this year, 10 months after the rollout, that the GST collections touched 1 lakh crore rupees. Finance Minister Arun Jaitley congratulated the stakeholders involved and praised the record GST collection as a, quote, a landmark achievement and a confirmation of increased economic activity. Before this, GST saw a dip in collections between September 2017 and January 2018, going below 81,000 crore rupees in November. The Times of India observed that the rise in GST revenue could also be linked to the rollout of e-way bills, which were touted as a major anti-evasion measure. E-way bill, about which we've already done a podcast, which I encourage you to listen to, is short for Electronic Way Bill, a unique document that is electronically generated for the specific consignment or movement of goods from one place to another. This movement can be interstate or intra-state and of values above 50,000 rupees. And what about the tax collected? The Financial Express, reviewing GST revenue, wrote that according to the first 9 months of data, while including April 2018 collections in those of March 2018, revenue collections stood at 8.2 lakh crores, that is 11 lakh crore annualized, yielding revenue growth of 11.9% compared with the relevant pre-GST numbers. The implied tax buoyancy, which is the responsiveness of tax growth to nominal GDP growth, is 1.2, which is high by the historical standards for indirect taxes. A column by Arvind Subramanian, who recently quit as the chief economic advisor, also observed that GST is boosting revenues of consuming states. One of the factors contributing to the political acceptability of the GST, it claimed, was that many of the opposition states, for example, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, and Kerala, were net consuming states that stood to gain from the GST. Once we correctly attribute all the GST revenues to the states, we can compare the share of the different states in the GST revenues compared with their share in taxes in the pre-GST regime. The Finance Ministry has also pointed out that there has been a progressive improvement in compliance levels over the last 12 months. In July 2017, 57.69% of GST returns were filed by the due date. This jumped to 66.81% by December 2017, about 5 months later, but again fell to 62.63% 3 months later in March 2018. The cumulative compliance levels, which is the percentage of returns filed till date, for initial months has crossed 90% and for July 2018 has reached 96%, according to the Finance Ministry. Another problem of GST had been the refund process. News reports noted that slow GST refunds continued to hurt exporters, who are entitled to complete refunds as exports are zero-rated in certain sectors despite government claims. Hindu Business Line observed that while the government claims that corrective measures taken in October to speed up refunds have alleviated distress in the case of working capital-intensive sectors, the impact on the ground appears quite uneven. Exporters can claim refunds on the taxes paid on both inputs and the finished goods. IGST refunds are held up by mismatches between the information in the shipping bills and the information in the GSTR forms. One independent chartered accountant explained, and I quote, "The Export General Manifest should not be treated as a document for taxation purposes. The authorities are making a mistake here, as a result of which refunds are held up," unquote. Approximately 14,000 crore rupees of refunds of exporters were stuck due to various mismatches and CBIC, and CBIC organized a special fortnight to fast-track clearances. Earlier this month, in an effort to clear the logjam in the refund process, the government conducted a special refund fortnight. More than 7,000 crore rupees, that is half of the pending GST refunds for exporters, were cleared during the first 9 days. The goods and services tax has copped a lot of criticism, more for implementation than intent. While fiscal conservatives have appreciated the move to a more streamlined, uniform tax regime, they've expressed concerns over tax compliance. For instance, MS Money of Deloitte India said, and I quote, "The gradual increase in the percentage of GST return filers, while being encouraging, still is quite low, as it appears that 30% of taxpayers are not filing returns. It is now essential to allow the reform to stabilize and not keep making constant changes, as simplification and stability are essential attributes of increased tax compliance," unquote. Outgoing Chief Economic Advisor Arvind Subramanian too said the GST Council is acutely aware of the fact that the complexity of the tax structure has reduced potential economic benefits. Chrysil said there was anecdotal evidence that many organized retailers and restaurants are continuing with the practice of accepting only cash for the goods and services, which leaves scope for tax evasion. The e-way bill and the phased rollout of single monthly returns in the next 1 year are expected to help increase compliance and reduction in tax evasion. the government has been responsive to challenges. It established a National Anti-Profiteering Authority to ensure the benefits of reduction in GST rates are passed on to the ultimate consumers by way of reduction in prices. That agency received complaints about even big-ticket names like McDonald's and Honda, and notices were sent to those companies. Mint is of the firm opinion that, and I quote, GST will increase productivity by unifying the Indian market. It will help formalize economic activity in India, unquote. The best way to sum up the public response to the GST is from the best GST-related headline I've read today. An ASSOCHAM study found that, quote, people want no GST on cinema tickets. Priorities, priorities. Thank you for joining us.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.